What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Wearing the White Helmet Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Gotro. Here with me today is Jay Como. Jason Como.
What's up, everybody?
So, I got Jason here with me today. This will probably be a two-part episode. Part one, we're going to kind of give an update on the podcast and myself. Had some changes recently.
It looks like it's been a while since you put one on.
Yeah, part two will be, you know, Jason Como going through the fire service, you know, your experiences. So, but right here on this part one, just to give a quick update on myself and Wearing the White Helmet Firefighter Podcast. So, the podcast, I ain't put anything out in a while. A lot of stuff going on. Moving into 2023, the fire department had a lot going on. I went for two grants, a SAFER grant for manpower and an AFG grant for some air packs. Never read a grant in my life, so I was trying to learn about writing a grant and just the language you use and everything. So a lot of my focus was on trying to get the grants done. Couldn't focus on podcast, you know.
And then you had a huge career change up.
Yeah, so in June, just kind of reached the point where I was pretty stressed, I guess, and I got to where I didn't enjoy my job anymore. I met with the mayor and I said, look, I love the fire service, I love being a fireman, but I don't enjoy being the fire chief. You know, I don't want to be a fire chief anymore. And so I said, look, either I can step down and be a fireman again, or a captain, or I gotta find something else to do. Tough decision, very tough decision. What I did not take lightly, you know. A lot of thought went into it, and the mayor understood. And when I called him and told him, he said, "Oh, look, buddy, that's fine. We'll meet in the morning and talk about it." You know.
Maybe he thought you would reconsider.
Yeah. Oh, I know for sure he was trying to change my mind. Right. And I got there in the morning. I shot him a text and said, "Hey, look, whenever you want to meet." This was at like 7:30. He's like, "Oh, we'll meet at 9 o'clock," and I'm like, "Oh man, you know."
Let's put it off a little
bit
longer.
Yeah. So, 9 o'clock.
How was that? Were you nervous going into that?
Oh no, man! I was. My mind was clearer than it had been in a long time.
That's good.
Like
that's
I had made a decision, you know, and that's I was going into the meeting knowing, like, hey, I made my decision. He's not going to change my mind, you know. Like, this is something I got to do.
It was a you decision.
So,
you
oh, yeah, yeah. I felt great going into the meeting. I don't think he did.
Of course not.
I felt great, though. Walked in his office and sat down. He's like, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." He's like, so what you want to do? I was like, "Yes, sir. I think it's what I got to do, you know." And we talked about it, and he said, "So you feel good?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I don't," but he's like, "That's on me, you know." And I was like, "Oh, I know." I was like, "I know I'm putting you in a bad spot, but I can't continue to do it." And a few days before that, he told me, he said, "You got to be the fire chief that Adam Gotro is comfortable being." And I told him, I was like, "Man, I'm happy with what I did and was able to accomplish and the chief I was, but I don't think it's something I could do anymore."
But I feel like it's like everybody's gumbo has a different unique little thing about it. Gumbo is gumbo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you put your flavor in there.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
And then you're like, all right, I did my part. So,
yeah, I definitely pointed it in a direction. And,
in a better direction, I will say.
Happy to say, man, so after I talked with the mayor, it was a couple days before I could talk to everybody else because he wanted to talk to the council. You know, like
it was a process.
Higher people it needed to go to. And it was killing me. Like, I wanted to tell people on the floor, you know, like, "Hey, my fireman, you know, like, I want to let them know." So a couple days went by, and me and the mayor were supposed to sit down with everybody. But he had, man, mayor of the city, he had stuff going on. He's like, "Look, meeting came up, I can't meet." And I was like, "Well, look, is it okay if I talk to at least the assistant chief and the captains? Because I need to let them know." And he's like, "Oh, no problem, you know." I was like, "I'll let you know how it goes." So, man, got there that morning. And
did anybody have any clue?
Oh, no. Nobody knew anything. And I had been dropping, like, subtle hints. Like, people would say something like, "Oh, that's the fire chief to worry about." You know, like, after it, they were like, "Oh, a lot of that stuff made sense." But, like, I was, at the day I met with the mayor.
The first time?
Yeah, yeah. When I told him, like, "This is it. I'm doing it. It's done." Clear mind and, like, my stress level was, like, gone. And, like, if something came up, I wasn't worried about it, because I was like, I'm going to let the next person, you know. I told the mayor, I was like, look, I'm not making, this point on, I'm not making any chief decisions, because I don't want to make a decision that the next chief might not want, you know. I'm going to keep this thing going down the road, but...
Right, you didn't want to make a decision where the next chief will be personally affected or have to finish dealing with the situation.
Yep. So, that morning I go in and walked in, and Travis was in the kitchen, assistant chief. I said, hey man, we'll meet real quick. Got a minute, we go in my office. And he's like, yeah. He's kind of like, oh crap, you know.
What's going on?
And we walk in, I close the door. Then he was really like, I could just see it in his face. And he sat down, and I sat down. And we were both sat down, and I closed the door. I think he was like, oh no. And I told him kind of what I had told the mayor, you know, like, hey, look, I don't want to do this no more, you know, like, I can't be the fire chief anymore. And, like, his face just kind of, like, dropped, and he looked at me. He's like, man, you're doing an awesome job. And I was like, I am. I will admit, you know, like, I feel like I'm doing a great job, but I just don't want to do it no more. I was like, this ain't me. Like, I don't want to do this no more. I don't enjoy this. I don't want to do it. And he's like, I get it. And he was like, man, actually, one thing. I was like, what's that? He's like, can you do scheduling? And I said, absolutely not. I'll be honest with you. It's like, scheduling is one of the biggest reasons I'm stepping down, trying to keep this place staffed. And for those people listening at different fire departments, the DFD is a very small department. As fire chief, like, I focused on filling out the schedule. You know, a lot of other departments, somebody else does that.
Right.
But at the DFD, we're kind of small, and, like, that was one of the things the chief would do, you know. But I think he was very shocked. But I think he's always wanted to be a fire chief, so...
Right, so it worked out for both of you.
Yeah, and then I told the captains, they were all very shocked. And then they were all kind of like figuring out who's going to be the assistant chief.
Who's currently the assistant chief now?
Right now, Trevor Cox. He was a captain with us. He had just confirmed. He ain't been there very long. He actually...
Wow.
He became a fireman when I became the chief.
How many years has that been now?
Almost 4.
Wow.
So he moved up quick, man, great guy, great work ethic, just a real go-getter. He's going to do great as assistant chief. He was moving up quick through the ranks, you know, and I mean, it's him, you know, it's what he was doing. Good fireman. He was learning a lot as an officer. Out of the captains, he was the only one that wanted to
take it on.
Oh, he didn't really want it. But he was the only one willing to step up to assistant chief, you know. And I told him, like, man, it's a good career opportunity for you, you know. Even if you're just interim assistant chief for a couple of years or a year, you know, the experience you're going to get if they do hire somebody else or whatever. I said, man, it's good resume material and good career, you know.
Absolutely great resume.
Learn a lot, you know. And to have that, and then if you ever did have to step back down, to have that aspect of the fire, you know, now he's gonna look at things as an assistant chief,
right? And it's the same thing you currently have now. It's that perspective shift, which is super important.
And that's what I told the mayor. I said, and my wife, I said, stepping back down, I will look at things a lot different now, because I understand the decisions that fire chief's making and what he's, you know, dealing with. I'll look at things a lot differently, but I am extremely happy to be back where I am. So, like I said, I'm about 3 months back on the floor now. Got a really great shift. My shift's actually kind of changed up. When I moved down, I have 2 unconfirmed firefighters.
Wow.
They were both... One had been with us 6 months. One had been with us 2 weeks.
Wow. So not uncommon for Donaldsonville.
No. But both firemen had about 5 years experience.
Okay.
So they both came from other departments. So they were new to us, but they had experience. And that's when I met with Travis. I'm like, look, moving on B-Shift, I'd like for B-Shift to maybe stay the same. He's like, I bet you would. You know? And he's like, look, I'm just telling you, when we reach a point where we're hiring new people, you're going to get the new person. And I'm like, oh, I fully expected that. And I was like, I'll be really honest with you. That's one of the main reasons I was moving down. The thing I missed the most was training a new person. Taking on a new person and training them to be a fireman. Like that, oh man, I miss that so much.
From the position of captain.
Yes, yes. Training somebody, passing on, not, man, I miss that. That was the thing I missed the most. And then being on shift, you know, cooking with your shift, spending time with your shift. And we do that, you know. That, I mean, that's how I always ran my shift, kind of. And firemen, one of them, Kelly, his name's Jeff Kelly. He's the one that's been there a couple weeks. He said, man, you spoiled me. It's like my last captain didn't cook like this. But we work out together. Every shift we work out, he likes working out. He's getting into it. So we eat breakfast, work out, you know. I think he's really enjoying it. But I want to pass that shift experience on to people, you know.
Like, so you're cultivating that family
shift. Yeah, man. That's once somebody gets on a shift like that, like it's that's their perspective of the fire department, you know. I had a guy, Naylor, one time, and he came on. He was brand new. So I had him, and, man, we trained and trained and we did a lot of training. But we needed to, you know. And I ran my shift like that. And he will still randomly out of the blue text me and be like, man, I love y'all. I miss y'all, you know. Like, I miss being on shift with y'all. That was awesome what we had. He's like, we were just so in sync, you know. Like, but we trained together so much. We knew what the other person, you know. We knew what you were supposed to do. We knew what I was supposed to do. And we knew what you were about to do.
And so,
because we trained that much.
And this is why I personally feel like that family atmosphere, the family environment on shift is so important, because you, and I thought about this when I woke up, you don't get on a great shift and you don't get on a tight shift.
Oh, no, you build that shift.
You cultivate that.
You build that, yes.
And that nonverbal communication that exists when it's time to do work is way easier whenever you're working in sync in the kitchen. You're all cooking breakfast together.
Yeah.
You're cleaning together. You're doing, and so it's may seem like, yeah, it's just my daily duties, but it's overall long term. It's so important.
I've always been, hey, when it's time to do duties, let's all knock this out together. You know, a lot of shifts will be, hey, you're doing floors tonight. Hey, you got the kitchen tonight. And to a certain point, we do that. But it's, hey, while he's doing the floor, we're knocking the kitchen out, you know?
Right, so everybody helping everybody.
Yeah, and we do it all together. And in 30, 40 minutes, all the duties are done. Like, we're finished for the night, you know? Like, everything's done. And then it's not, you wake up in the morning as a captain, and you're like, oh, man, I wonder if firefighter so-and-so did the floors last night. Well, crap, he did. Now I need to go get him out of bed and say, hey, man, you didn't do the floor, you know, like.
Right, so you know
it's getting done. You either knock these floors out or you got to get a write-up, you know, like, I don't want to write you up, but right, why you didn't do these floors, you right. know?
It's not like we've been running all night.
Yeah, whereas we all do it together. Hey, I know it got done because I was here while we were doing it.
Right, I was a part of that.
Yeah, and I've always been like that. I think some, I can only speak for the DFD, you know, because that's the only place I've ever really been, but I think some captains at the DFD don't really do any duties, but man, we're on shift, you know,
right.
Like, this is our shift, I'm a part of this.
And it's our station, and for the 24 hours or 48, however many hours we're there, it's our house.
Yep, correct. I've never really been comfortable sitting in my office doing something. Even as chief, I was the same way, and a lot of times somebody would be like, hey, no chief, let me do that. And I could do, and I get it, you know, like, I shouldn't have to, but I'm gonna do my part, you know.
Right.
Man, when I would work my shifts as the chief, I rode the truck, and hey, I'm doing this duty tonight. It is the duties I'm doing tonight, you know?
I imagine you was out there with the crew washing the truck, too.
Oh, for sure. I am now, but, like, even as the chief, when I would bump down, I wouldn't really bump down. But
you'd work your shift.
I would ride as the officer of the engine. So I would free the captain up to either go to the squad or ride in a pickup truck. And I would free them up to kind of get off the engine and see what everybody else was doing. And I would kind of take that role. And at that day, that engine was mine. We were going to wash that engine. We were going to check it, you know. And every day I checked it because I'm like, man, I ride this thing once a month.
Right. You want to familiarize yourself?
I was going to check. Yeah. Every time I got on the engine, I checked it top to bottom because I'm like, this is my one time a month to be on it. You know, like, I need to know. But, and man, like I said, I think that's what maybe be like, I got to get back on the floor. Being chief was interesting. It was fun, but I think I'm supposed to be on a fire truck running calls, you know. As my brother said, I told my brother what I was doing and everything. He said, you was a fire chief too young. He said, you did it too young. And I wouldn't disagree with him. I was, 33, 34 when I became the fire chief.
You were, it's not that, I don't think you were too young. And I think you did a really good job when you were there, and we kept in contact the whole time.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I just think that's not what you like the truck. You like the actual job more than you do sitting in an office. But you've always been that way, because I remember when you got hired on in Donaldson. Yeah. You were amazing with the AutoCAD and all
stuff
on the computer. And I'm like, you could totally do that. You didn't want to. Wanted to be on the truck. You wanted to be on the floor. Enjoy the job.
Yeah, from day one of getting into the fire service, I used to always say, I'll never be a fire chief. I would run into people and they'd be like, oh man, you'd be the chief of Donaldson one day. And I'm like, no, not me.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll never be a fire chief. And then, well, you never say never. Things just played out and things happened. And I felt like I needed to throw my name in the hat. And I did, and I did it. And I think I did it well, you know, but it ain't me. It ain't what I wanted to do. I'm definitely back doing what I want to do now. Because, man, I went to City Hall one day. And the ladies that work at City Hall in finance and all, I'm like, man, you don't have to be smiling so much. You know, the second week into being on the floor, I had to go turn a purchase order in. I'm like, you ain't got to smile so much. And I'm like, I'm just happy, man.
I'm happy to just have the truck and the guys responsible.
Yeah, and then I ran into Major Smith with the sheriff's office in Walmart. He said, man, why are you so happy? I was like, you know. I was like, how's that going being major? He's like, man. He's like, I get it. He's like, I understand. I didn't want to do it no more, you know? Man, it was great. The support. Man, so many people offer support as, you know, me moving into being the chief. Like, full support of the council, the fire board. I had everybody's support. And I told the mayor, and the next night, it might have been that night, we met with the council, and we had a council meeting. I gave my council report. And then after the meeting, me and the mayor met with the council. We met in like closed chambers, and he went in and he told them. And they all just kind of looked at me. They're like, "Man, what can we do?" And I'm like, "It ain't nothing." And I was like, "Y'all have supported me 100% from day one. You know, like, it's not a lack of support thing. It's just I don't enjoy it anymore. You know." And one of them was like, "Man, you could have had me food. You know, like, you always look so happy." And I'm like, "Oh no, like, I'm gonna do my job and I'm gonna do the best I can do. And I love the fire service. It's just killing me being the chief, you know. Like, I don't enjoy sitting in an office doing paperwork."
And that's never been you, though.
Making chief decisions, you know. I can make them, I just don't want to do that, you know. I'd rather be on the truck washing. I'd rather be washing the fire truck, you know. The biggest thing is just working with my shift, you know. Worrying about B shift. I ran into the mayor the other day. He said, "How you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm good. We got B shift going, you know." Like, "Don't worry about B shift. We good." I think he's happy to see me. We talked a couple of times, you know. And man, the mayor was awesome. Great relationship with the mayor. I had the success I had as fire chief because of the mayor. 100%.
That's awesome.
From day one, we had a great relationship. Fully supported me. When I go in there. But when I went in there, hey.
Is Leroy still the mayor?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Leroy Sullivan. I actually did an episode with him. There's a podcast with the mayor.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to go back and check that one out.
Yeah, but I'd go in there and, hey, this is the direction we need to go. This is what needs to happen, but this is why, and this is what it's going to do for us. I was always like that. So, like, I always had my information with me. Laid it out. So
presentation format.
And one day he was like, "Look, I probably won't always agree with you." He's like, "But
stick to your guns. Yeah. Stick to your guns."
He's like, if you feel strongly about it, he's like, You tell me why, you know? And he's like, "You got to do what you got to do." But, man, great relationship. Great guy. One of the best bosses or supervisors I've ever had. And just the way he handles himself, and awesome. But that's kind of a little bit about where I'm at and the podcast, you know?
So I have a question. If I wanted to send the podcast an email, how would I go about doing that?
And it'd be awesome if the podcast had an email, huh?
I mean,
so I actually, before setting up this episode we're doing now, kind of want to start doing the podcast again. You know, it's kind of had a little break, but opened up an email for the podcast. So it's whitehelmetpod@gmail.com. So whitehelmetpod@gmail.com. Man, everybody feel free to send an email on ideas, questions, comments, criticisms.
Just send it all.
Yeah, I want to hear from everybody, man. I'm trying to do this thing, and feedback would be awesome to know where I need to point this, what I need to do. I just look forward to hearing from people, you know?
I think it would be really cool if you did a podcast just answering emails.
Man, if I could get enough emails where I could do a podcast. That would be awesome. So yes, please email the Gmail, whitehelmetpod@gmail. And if I can get enough emails, I will most definitely do an episode and just answer questions or, you know, talk about a topic if somebody wants to talk about it. I'm not much, you know, who am I, but, you know, I'll give my ideas.
Or if somebody knows somebody who wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah, man, trying to find people that I can collaborate with and set up with to do episodes is kind of rough sometimes. I'll find people that are interested, but
scheduling is the hardest part in life now.
And I think it'll be easier now that I'm back on the floor and shift work.
Yes.
Man, I miss shift work. Shift work's awesome.
I bet.
Monday through Friday is terrible.
God, you get nothing done business-wise at your own.
No. I did not like Monday through Friday. And I worked a half a day Friday, so it was 4 9s and a 4. But shift work, man. So we work a 24-48 in Deville, so I have my 2 days off. They float around 48-96. Man, the firemen want it terribly bad when I was chief.
They wanted the 48-96?
Man, I pushed for it. Before I became chief, I was pushing for it hard to McDonald. And I never could get everybody on board with it. You know, nobody. And McDonald was like, look, I'll do it if everybody wants it. And there was no way I was ever going to do that. So then I became chief and a couple firemen.
And,
you know, oh, man, this 48-96 thing. And as a chief, the logistics of that is just terrible.
Like, why? Why is that?
So we're a small department. You put us on 48-96. Somebody takes a vacation or somebody's sick. Now somebody's working at least a 72. You gotta cover that 48 hours, you know?
That's true. You don't have the staffing to...
If our part-time is not up and adequate, man, now you... Somebody's at least doing a 72, you know? And doing scheduling, I didn't like people to do 72s. I would occasionally allow somebody, but like... No more than that, you know. Like, people don't need to be at the fire department that long.
That was a rule that you changed while you were chief?
Yes.
I mean, you remember back when I were up.
Oh.
I started in Deville. We would put 120-hour
shift.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. For 6 or 8 months straight, you worked 48 on, 24 off.
It was 9 months, 48 on, 24 off.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had an opening, somebody left, and you just worked their opening until we...
Yeah,
staffed it. That was many years ago.
Very, very many years ago.
Well, and you reached a point where you're like, I can't do this no more.
Well, you get burnt out.
Yeah.
And I was still doing other jobs.
People can't do that, man.
On my 24 off. I was still doing whether I was doing electrical or plumbing at the time or whatever.
Yep. But 72 is the most I'd want people doing. So, they floated the idea. And as a fire chief, I was just like, man, I don't want to deal with it. And then pay. You got to figure out pay because you kind of got to go on a set paycheck, which everybody likes that, but I don't know the legalities of doing that. You know?
I understand that. I've worked for a department that does the set checks.
Yeah.
That was very nice because there's no short.
You knew what you were going to have.
Consistent.
Yeah.
But also, I've been recently looking into that 48-96 thing, and I have not found a department that is upset or regrets to the 48-96.
Every department that swaps to 48-96, even the people that were against it, love it. But I mean, you think about it, every day you leave, you're gone for 4 days.
That's beautiful.
Every day you leave, you're gone for 4 days. That's awesome. And then the way I kind of look at the 48, your first day on, you'll do your morning duties, you know, your truck checks, your all of that. And as long as you keep the station clean, you knock it out real good on your last day. And, I mean, same people are there for 2 days, you know?
Right, so...
Just take care of it, keep it clean.
So what's your mindset or thoughts on, like, the second morning? Like,
I've had this talk with a few people, and we're a small department. Everybody's at one station, you know? The chiefs have to understand that... Your second day on, you may not be up at business hours, you know, depending on how your night was, you may not be up at business hours doing what you know, which really and truly, you checked your trucks yesterday, you know, you don't need to be up at 7 running your trucks and, you know.
I was on the call when I used that thing that I replaced, so I
don't
need to report that to anyone.
Yes, I know what I did, so I mean, that's how I look at it, You can't be strict. You couldn't. The chiefs couldn't be strict on it. Like, hey, it's 7 o'clock. Why are you not? You know, well, we ran 8 calls last night. Like, you know, sleep till 8:30. You know,
Well, it's because we've always done it that way.
Yes, you're right about that so much. Well, that's just a little update on where I'm at, you know, stepping back down. Captain Gotro now.
Captain
Gotro. Man, a couple people were like, I don't know if I'm going to have to rename the podcast now. You know, like, I don't know what's... I'm going to have to rename the podcast. I'm giving up the white helmet, you know?
The red helmet.
Yeah. I was like, nothing else. That could be the name of this episode, you know? Giving up the white helmet.
Wow. That's a good one.
But, so, yeah, back down as a captain. Podcast. Hopefully, there'll be more podcasts coming out now. Did take like a... Not quite a year break, but man, there's a lot of stuff going on.
For sure.
You know, but don't forget about the email.
Yes, and again, what is that email?
So it's whitehelmetpod@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Feel free to email. I'd love to hear from people, man. I really would. Because I'll hear people I know will see me and be like, man, don't stop doing the podcast. You know, podcast's great. And I've talked to a few people like, hey, you know, what's something you would want me to ask? And a couple people have given me ideas on questions, but it's all people I know. I'd love to hear from people out of state that have different fire service experience, you know?
From another department, another
area. Yeah, yeah. The beauty of the fire service, you know, it's so different everywhere.
It is.
I think about it, I'm like, man, people at big stations, like, listen to me talk about the DFD, they're probably like, man, that is insane, you know? Really and truly, like, I was a volunteer at Sanimal, but as far as, like, paid professional, the DFD is all I know, you know? 18 years at the DFD, that's all I know.
And so what's crazy about the DFD is, though, is myself having worked for larger departments, there's nothing compares to what Donaldsonville does. Because I listened to one of your podcasts, Donaldsonville's on an island.
Oh, we are.
You are.
There's no one coming to help us.
There's, you know, at the time
when I got three or four people.
Right. When I was there, it was... You know, me, you, and someone else, and that was it. And if all breaks loose, then we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we ran a call last night. I was on shift last night. We ran a call, and it was a public assist. We had to move somebody. Mm-hmm. And we got there, and it was four of us. And they were a large person, and we needed to get them up steps that weren't the best. And I'm like, we're not going to be able to do this. I'm like, we need Acadian. So we called dispatch, and we're like, hey, is Acadian coming? And they were like, oh, Acadian advised, they don't provide that assistance.
Of course they don't.
So we're sitting there, and I'm like, the firemen are looking at me, and like, what are we? I'm like, man, the only thing I can think is to put them in a man sack, but we ain't got enough manpower to do that, you know? It's four of us. And one of the people weigh 106 pounds, you know?
Wow.
One of the firemen is really small. So I called dispatch back, and I'm like, look, call Acadia and tell them we need their, like, we needed a stair chair. That's what we needed, you know? And they wound up coming out, but I'm like, man, if they wouldn't have came out, like, who am I going to call? They ain't no, I'm going to hit an all call for assistance for, you know? But that's where we're at the DFD. And that's the things you figure out at the DFD. You know, we're on an island. Ain't nobody coming to help us. You know, you catch a working structure fire, you got to do what you got to do.
How many bottles do you have? Because that's what you're going to use.
Yep. So, but that'll conclude this episode of Wearing a White Helmet Firefighter Podcast. This is part one. Stick around for part two and sit down with Jason Como and learn about his journey through the fire service.
A very interesting one.
Yeah.